Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. The new screensavers is brought to you by PillPack, a full-service online pharmacy that combines modern technology, convenient packaging, and personalized service to make your life easier. Visit PillPack.com/twit and save $20 on vitamins and OTCs when you transfer your prescriptions. And by Wealthfront. Wealthfront is a low-cost automated investment service and the most sophisticated way to invest your money. Whether you've got millions or you're just starting out, visit Wealthfront.com/NSS and sign up to get your free personalized investment portfolio. That's Wealthfront.com/NSS.
A paralyzed hand moves again. America's greatest makers, and it's 1 year. Live from the Twit Network in beautiful downtown Petaluma, it's the new Screensavers! Woo!
Wait a minute, I'm having a flashback. I thought for a moment that was Kate Botello standing here. It is!
Hi,
darling.
Hi, darling.
Great to see you. It is the 1 year anniversary of the new Screensavers.
Yes.
You were on our first show
a year ago. Mazel tov. Congratulations.
And it is the 8th, in 4 days, it'll be the 18th anniversary. And Kate did not know this when I told her.
No.
Of the original Screensavers, the launch of ZDTV at the time, later Tech TV, May 11th, 1998.
That's the lifespan of an entire voter. Someone was born on that day.
The show can vote now.
And the show can now vote. Congratulations.
So, Kate, as I think all of you know, in fact, there's people, HD editors in the chat room, he said he sent you flowers on your last day on the Screensavers, the
old screen.
There are a lot of people who remember Kate from the original days. The first 2 years of the Screensavers, my lovely co-host. It was so much fun doing the show with you, and I missed doing it with you now. We even have some of the things from the old Screensavers set just as kind of mementos. And it was about, you know, 2 years ago that Lisa, our CEO and executive producer, said, you know, we could do the Screensavers. I said, we cannot do the Screensavers. That had 8 producers. Mm-hmm. It had a lot of staff. We had a camera operators. We had a floor director. We were remembering David Yount and Stephen Porter, our floor directors, remembering all the people who helped us with that show. I said, we can't do it. She said, we can do it. And I'm so glad. We do it once a week instead of 5 times
a week.
Well,
it's a lot of work.
And it's a lot of work, but we have a great team. We have a great studio, and I'm glad we could bring it back. And I'm so glad we could bring you back. Where are you living these days?
Traverse City, Michigan.
I knew that. You know why I know that? Because I saw you dancing in a lip dub.
Yes, the lip dub.
Of the Paul Simon song.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. Were you part of getting that thing together?
Or? No, I was just recruited for that thing.
It looked like so much fun. And you're singing and dancing across the bridge in the beautiful, look, it's like a beautiful little town.
Yeah, and that's just downtown in the back. You know, I mean, there's something gorgeous everywhere. We keep winning these polls. It's a very popular town for tourists and things. You know, most beautiful place in America,
the Sleeping Bear Dunes.
You know, we were just kind of drawn there naturally, and weirdly enough, I fell in love with it in the middle of February when it was 15 below.
Oh,
and I
that's
thought, okay,
crazy.
If I'm going to love this now, I'm going to love it all the time. So it's just gorgeous and a wonderful place with tons of arts, and it's got lots of stuff in it for such a small place. So.
And you and your husband, Ray Weigel, of course, Ray was part of the Tech TV family for many years. He was what we called a lab rat.
He was a lab rat. Yes, he was.
And you know how it is when show hosts and lab rats meet, true love blossomed, and there you are in Traverse City.
Here we are.
And you're working in radio back there.
Yes, I'm at Interlochen Public Radio at Interlochen Center for the Arts.
Oh, how neat.
Which is basically the school, Interlochen Arts Academy. I say that it's Hogwarts for artists.
Oh, how fun.
There's IPR, there's my site. And the Interlochen Center for the Arts is this incredible world-class place. I mean, we have performers from everywhere that come. Conductors, world-famous conductors, all this kind of thing.
Oh, it's famous. Interlochen is the festival's famous all over the world.
Yes.
And you do the morning show?
I'm a morning drive classical host. It's true.
So you say, And now that was Mozart, Opus 51, the Symphony in D minor.
Yes,
and now
I...
let's go to Hap Harper in the sky for a traffic report.
For the traffic report, there are 5 cars on the road because it is 7 o'clock in the morning. Watch out for deer. But of course, we don't be smooth.
You're normal,
I just talk
which
like
I love.
A person. Yeah.
I love that.
Well, because the idea is, you know, I'm your friend that likes classical music, too. So we're just hanging out, listening to music together
cool.
in the morning. That's the
they're very lucky to have
behind
you.
It. Rather than, hello, my friend. And now, Mussorgsky.
Yeah,
Mussorgsky. We love Mussorgsky.
And you you can be heard streaming
yes.
on the internet. So anybody who wants to listen can go to Interlochen Public Radio.
That's correct.
At 7 a.m. Pacific, 4 a.m. Eastern.
No, 7 a.m.
Eastern, 4 a.m. Pacific.
So you will never hear me unless you were up all night.
I'd have to get up at 4 in the morning.
Okay, well, then you might catch me for...
I might hear you. I'm up at 4. I'm up at 4 a lot.
A brief moment. And then you can listen to my show tune shows on Sundays. That's also all on the website.
That's a podcast, too, right?
No.
No?
No, because mechanical rights.
Oh.
Yeah, music.
They don't let you do that.
It's tricky.
But you can listen.
Yes, but you can listen, and you can stream
you
all of the
listen,
episodes.
Listen
there,
live.
So.
All right.
Yes.
We have a great... We decided, let's put a really, really good show together for Kate. So we're going to have some fun. Coming up in just a bit, it's called A Nerve Bypass. Ian Burkhardt is a quadriplegic. He has a chip in his brain. He is a bionic man. The chip allows him to control his hand. I'm very interested in this. This is new technology that is going to be a lifesaver for a lot of people. I don't know if you've seen Mark Burnett's new reality show, America's Greatest Makers, on TBS.
It's fun.
It's so great. They're already in episode 5. There are 3 more episodes. We have 2 of the finalists here with us today to show off their creations. And I know you have a 9-year-old, and you'll be interested in this toothbrush.
Yes, very.
This is something every 9-year-old needs is a toothbrush that actually keeps track of whether you brush your teeth. You've never done VR?
No, never.
You never put the thing on your head?
No, I've not put the thing on my head. So that's going to be fun.
We're going to make Kate do VR. We're going to go back. We've actually set up a studio in the back in a giant green screen room.
Oh, fun.
So that we'll be able to see you, but you will also be able to see where you are. And the first thing we're going to do is put you to work. The one of the most popular, is strange to me, Ryan Schrout, who helped us build Avergum. It's the ultimate virtual reality gaming machine.
Oh,
the follow-on
okay.
to what we built.
Son of Uggam.
Son of
Uggam. Oh, no, we had Son of Uggam.
Great-great-great-great-grandson of Uggam. He helped us build it. He said this office, this new game where you're, what is it called, Job Simulator? You get to work in an office.
Oh.
Hyper-realistic. It
okay.
sounds wonderful. Yeah, Uggam.
Uggam.
Do you have the video of us building Uggam? The ultimate gaming machine. This was in 1998. We ended up building an Uggam every year at the Screensavers.
Yes.
And I think we built another one at the beginning of Twit. So that means this is Uggam 8. So it's the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson
okay.
of the original Uggam. The first one was a Pentium 2, 233 megahertz with how much RAM?
64 mega RAM, because you know you'll never need more.
Never need
Why
more than 64 mega.
Why would you ever need more than 64 mega
And
RAM?
The game we were playing was Unreal Tournament, I think, right? Is that what you...
I think so.
Oh, there we are.
Too.
Oh, my God, that's a long time ago.
Oh, I know. Look. Oh.
And we were so blurry back then.
Well, that's all that's left of the footage.
The
yeah,
footage
I mean, it's
is
either
degraded.
That or VHS.
Over the years.
Surviving tape. But, I mean, look at that thing. It's as tall as you are. I mean, I know it's on the table. But still,
it's huge.
Huge.
It weighed more than you did.
Oh, yeah.
And we had these beautiful Clipshorn speakers you see below. And that Sony monitor was cost more than the entire ultimate virtual reality gaming machine today.
Mm-hmm.
That monitor alone. And it was only like 30 inches. Well, I don't know how big it was. It wasn't 27, I think. It wasn't that big.
And weighed like 500 pounds.
You couldn't lift it.
So.
You couldn't lift it. Anyway, we'll get you. We're going to put the vibe on. We're going to hear from some old screensavers who want to say
Excellent.
Hi to you. And maybe you can help with this. How your kids can watch cartoons while you listen to music. And here's the catch. On the same computer.
Oh, that'll be tricky. Okay.
I
or
don't
not.
Know.
Maybe it'll be really easy.
I don't know how we're going to do this. Do you want to take our first guest? This is so much fun. I can't believe I'm standing across
from
you.
Hi.
It's like nothing. It's like no time intervened. Isn't it?
It is a little strange. If you're watching, is it a little strange? It's a little strange.
If you're just tuning in and you didn't know ahead of time.
Yeah.
You might, like, I don't know, you might pass out or something. You might, like, go... They said the acid wouldn't flash back, but it is. It's doing... Or maybe it's just the shirt.
It's the shirt. And, you know, I have to say, that is an excellent shirt.
I wore this for you.
And I was... Yeah, I can tell. And I was rather hoping that you would wear one of the shirts that you used to wear on the screensaver. I don't understand how you've kept those shirts in such pristine condition.
This is a newer one, but yeah. I do have all of them in the back there.
Yeah, the one in the opening, in your opening credits, that car shirt. That was one of my favorites.
The car shirt, yeah. Yeah, we have Segways now, though, instead of...
Remember
the first time we had to shoot the show up and they said, we're brainstorming, right? 60s crime show. And you and I ran around. You had the worst thin boots. Your feet were killing you, I remember.
Oh, that's right, my pleather boots. Oh, look, this. Okay, this is one of the coolest things I've ever done. Just this 18 seconds.
It was so much fun. You were jumping off of things.
Oh, we jumped. We ran and jumped all day. I was so sore. Mm-hmm. And then the Linda Hamilton run. There it goes. Yes, that was the best thing.
Oh.
And that shiny plastic jacket. I wore that thing until it fell to actual ribbons. I loved. We wore a lot of plastic clothes. It was the 90s.
It was the 90s.
Yeah,
it was a different time.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's get our first guest on here. We're very excited to have Ian Burkhart joining us via Skype. Ian is a quadriplegic. Ian, it's great to see you. Joining us with Ian, Gaurav Sharma, who is a principal research scientist at Battelle Memorial Institute.
Hi.
Gaurav, thank you for joining us. You're the nonprofit that developed the computer system. And from Ohio State Center for Neuromodulation, the doctor actually implanted the chip, Dr. Ali Rezai. Dr. Rezai, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's great to have you. So, Ian, you're a bionic man.
I guess so.
How is that? Tell us about it.
Well, I was lucky enough to be involved in this research study. The principle behind it is to regain use of my hands that I lost after I had a spinal cord injury almost 6 years ago.
Now, how did you get involved in that study? Because that would be something that wouldn't happen to everybody. How did that happen?
That's a great question. I was doing some rehab at Ohio State, working with some of their doctors and therapists, and I had mentioned to them that I was interested in what kind of research was going on in the field, because I knew ever since my accident that, hey, I got hurt at the right time because of how science and technology are progressing. There'd be something that would come along throughout my life that would really benefit my quality of life. So I made those interests known and kind of was in the right place at the right time.
It's still a brave thing to do. Did they talk to you about the risks involved?
There's certainly quite a few risks involved with any surgery, let alone a brain surgery. This was something where at that point I hadn't used my hand for about 3.5 years, and I was kind of willing to try anything, and even knowing that it's something that I won't ever really be able to use outside of the clinical setting in the lab, just knowing that I'm able to help push that ball forward and help a lot of other people.
And is that the big benefit for you? Because I remember reading something saying that your dad was not thrilled about you doing that, both because of the brain surgery that you'd have to have, but he also said that you weren't going to get anything out of it on a long-term basis. But you're basically saying that you do. You did.
Certainly. I had to convince my family that this was something I wanted to do and was the right thing to do, because they said, hold on, Ian, pump the brakes. You know, you just had this crazy injury a few years ago that changed your life forever, and now you want to kind of risk a lot of things in order to maybe progress that for something that you're not really going to be able to benefit from yourself. But I felt like I was in the right place at the right time, and kind of my obligation to society to help, you know, push this type of research forward.
Well, thank you for doing that, Ian. And I think it must be cool to be involved in this. I mean, how exciting. Dr. Rezai, you're the surgeon. Had you ever done anything like this before?
We do surgeries of this type for brain implants that we do for Parkinson's and other conditions routinely. But this is the first time where we put a microchip in the brain, the size of a small eraser head, that is allowing to record the brain signals from Ian's thoughts and linking them towards his movements within milliseconds.
Do you connect the nerve endings to the chip? How is the chip connected to his brain and to the rest of his body?
So the chip is a very small implant that goes in an area of the brain called the motor cortex. The cerebral cortex, that is an area involved in planning, control, and execution of voluntary movements. For example, moving the hands, arms, etc. And we targeted this area using brain imaging, functional MRI, that allows you to map this motor cortex. And specifically in Ian's case, we needed to map the hand area. So we had a small opening in the skull, and we implanted this microchip in the area, the cortical area.
You're playing Guitar Hero. That's awesome. That's amazing.
Exactly.
Wow. Do the neurons attach immediately? Does it take a while for them to accept the chip? How does that work?
The neurons are actively firing all the time. So the language of the brain is electricity. So the neurons were able to record the activity of the brain and make sense of it and interpret the brain signals. And then they're linked with the wired system from his brain to the an external wearable sleeve garment that's developed by colleagues from Battelle.
So that garment, you can see it on his right arm there, that's activating muscles in his arm?
That's exactly right. So it's linking his thoughts and the intention to movements, and it's understanding them very quickly, linking them to the movements of his arm muscles.
Ian, what does it feel like when you think something and your hand does something?
It's a very strange feeling because when I had my spinal cord injury, I lost all sensation in my arm. So I can't feel when I'm actually picking up anything. I have to really rely on my sight to know that I'm actually picking something up. But just knowing that I can think for my hand to do something, less than half of a second later, my hand will actually move and make that task something that I can do is incredible.
But it's not something you ever had to think about before. So what's that thought process of grasp my hand?
Do you say hand move?
I feel like it would be like trying to have telekinesis and make a door open, and it doesn't. But how do you do that?
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting thing. The first, 19, 20 years of my life, I took it all for granted. As, you want your hand to open, you just think about your hand opening and it happens. But this is something that I was able to work with the therapists and the doctors and the researchers, and we would show a virtual hand on the screen and I would think about certain movements. Or they would actually put their own arm next to mine, and I would think about those same movements to try and learn. And then just after, the last 2.5 years of working, it's gotten a lot easier to now where it's something where I don't have to think about it as hard. But originally, it was something I had to really concentrate on.
Wow. Gaurav Sharma is also here. He's this principal research scientist at the Battelle Memorial Institute, where the computer system was created. So, Gaurav, how do you program a computer to understand brain signals?
Well, we have to do a lot of training. So, as Ian mentioned, we show him a virtual hand on the screen in front of him, and then we ask him to imagine those movements that are being shown to him. When he's imagining those movements, and the chip is recording the neural signal from his brain, they go to a computer where we have these machine learning-based algorithms. So those algorithms, based on the cue that we are presenting, we are trying to decode what he's thinking about. And that's an iterative process. We go through many blocks of training. So we are training our algorithms to learn or figure out what Ian is thinking. At the same time, Ian is also learning how to use the technology. So at some point, they both meet, and that's when we are able to decode his intent. And once we decode that intent, we route those signals back to that garment or the sleeve on his arm and stimulate the right muscle to evoke that particular movement that Ian is thinking about.
Wow.
So the training kind of goes back and forth.
Yes,
between
it's
Ian
an iterative
and
process. It goes in blocks. We start and then we go a few blocks and then we see how well our algorithms are able to decode Ian's intent. And once we feel confident that it's a robust decoder, we lock it in, and then Ian goes with it.
It's AI, really, because it's a learning machine. Yeah, it has to learn what signals correspond to what movements. It knows nothing when you start?
Yep, there's zero. It starts from scratch, and slowly it builds up, and it learns fairly quickly, I would say. So that's the decoder output you just saw. And it's machine learning, so it's learning as we go.
Right. Ian, was it many, many hours of training? Was it frustrating? Was it fun?
Both frustrating and fun. It was something, that no one has ever done. I've never done before. And it was a good challenge. We do more and more training blocks, and you can see the decoder getting better and better as I'm learning and the computer are learning both together. It's really exciting to see that they can even figure out what I'm trying to think about. And knowing that I'm thinking about the right things for them to figure it out.
And is there kind of a delay there to make, like, you think it and then your hand moves? Does it happen almost as quickly as it used to?
It's certainly not as quickly as it used to, because before it was something that was almost an unconscious thought.
Right.
Now it's something I have to concentrate on, but the response time is less than half of a second. As you guys can see, it's quick enough of a response time to actually play Guitar Hero.
That's got to be pretty quick.
That has to be the pinnacle of accomplishment this whole thing, is playing guitar. That's amazing that you can do it. Gaurav, are we going to see more of this? Is this just the – it seems like this must be the beginning of this kind of research.
Absolutely. It is the beginning. We are very excited about what we have done as a team, Patel and OSU with Ian. But, I mean, we need to move it forward. Our goal for the next several years is to make this system portable, wearable, so that someone, a patient like Ian or someone else who has an injury, can take it home with them. This is just the beginning, as you said. We are working on shrinking down the whole hardware part so that it can be, again, as I said, belt, worn, or a wearable device, as well as we are working on to improve our machine learning algorithms. We want to make them robust so that we can minimize the amount of training that is required to do a simple task.
I'm gathering, Dr. Rezai, from the name of your center, the Ohio State Center for Neuromodulation, that this is exactly the kind of work that you wanted to do at the center.
Exactly. I mean, our goal is to hopefully there'll be a day sometime soon where we can help many patients with physical disabilities to be more independent and function, have a better quality of life. And right now, Ian has a spinal cord injury that basically severs his spinal cords from the rest of the brain. So the brain signals are not going to the spinal cord and going to the nerves to move his hand, and he's able to think and move his hands. We're also hopeful we can apply this in patients who have had strokes or other brain injuries. Yeah. So the goal is to restore quality of life and improve the potential of functioning. And one of the key areas is to accelerate the pace of worldwide research and collaborations to accelerate the application of this technology and take it home, instead of right now it has to be done in the laboratory.
Right.
But the goal is to have it done at home and miniaturized it so patients can use it at home.
How close are we to that?
I'm hoping sooner than later. I would say hopefully within 10 years we can have this technology available at home for patients to be used and to be able to move their hands. Ian, 2 years ago when we first were testing this, he just had movements opening and closing of his hands, and now he's able to do very sophisticated movements, playing Guitar Hero, taking a credit card, holding a cup of coffee, and have individual movements of his fingers. So this technology has tremendous potential for helping patients with physical disabilities.
Ian, it must be very gratifying for you to be able to do this, to kind of contribute to this research, and I'm sure it's fun too. Must feel pretty good.
It certainly is. I feel lucky to be a part of it, and just knowing that I'm helping a lot of other people and potentially helping myself if we can get everything working soon enough.
Isn't that great?
I hope so.
Ian Burkhart, Gaurav Sharma, Dr. Ali Rezai, thank you so much for joining us today on the show to show us what amazing things you're doing in surgery, in the computer labs, and Ian, what you're doing using your body to help advance this subject. It's really great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you all later. Take care. Isn't that amazing?
A virtual spinal cord.
Yeah.
Spinal cord bypass.
And we're going to do VR in a bit, but of course the goal, it's more than just, I mean, this is of course the most immediate and most valuable stuff, but at some point getting this idea of somehow integrating hardware and human bioware is an intriguing thing. I mean, you're going to see all the gear you have to put on to do the virtual reality.
Oh.
Wouldn't it be nice if you could just plug it right in? And
I don't know if that would be nice.
No?
Maybe for you. That sounds like something you would
I'm planning on it. We'll see.
So much.
I hope it happens soon. Coming up, Kate's going to answer her first call for help in over...
in a couple of years. In the entire lifespan of a sophomore in high school.
16 years.
Yes.
But you know what? You have the answer, which is awesome.
Maybe.
I met Kate. I've told this story so many times.
But I met Kate. It's so embarrassing.
Because she was our IT person.
I was your IT
person. At Ziff Davis.
Mm-hmm. And at the site.
At the TV show we did before we started Tech TV.
Mm-hmm.
Crawling under desks, hooking up printers, all of that stuff. And as she would go around, she'd tap dance and sing and perform.
Yeah, you busted me doing Judy Garland at a laser printer at like 6 o'clock at night because I had rehearsal that night and I was rehearsing and there wasn't supposed to be anyone else in the building. So I'm sitting there like, fascinating, you know. And the next thing you know, you just walk in.
We're looking for somebody who has some pizzazz, who knows a little bit about technology. And what did we do a pilot? I think we did a lot of pilots.
Yeah, we did a lot of pilots.
Yeah.
There were, and we even talked about for a while. Do you remember one of the pitches was doing it as a cooking show?
Oh, I still have that pitch.
Yeah, and I remember thinking at the time, like, that is the worst idea. But now I'm like, oh, no, but you could, like, make brownies. And, you know,
we should have done that.
Talk about, we kind of should have. I think that would have been really fun.
We might still be on the air.
So sorry, Renee. I said it was a terrible idea, but it really wasn't.
You're talking to Renee Arricchio?
Yeah. Sorry, Renee.
Yeah, sorry, Renee.
It was a good idea. It was a better idea than I thought.
We had a lot of ideas. You, a couple of years ago, put up on Facebook, and I immediately reshared it, a video that we had shot before Tech TV launched, of pilots that we created. I think there was you and me, and there was one where I was doing the 1 minute fitness
workout
tech makeover thing, and there was a workout plus how to clean your mouse.
Yeah.
We did a lot of mouse cleaning in the early days.
We did.
There wasn't much to talk about.
No. And there was a lot of knocking out the keyboards. And, you know, we used a lot of Q-tips.
I think that the management was really over-interested in cleaning keyboards and mice. I don't know why that
was. Well, because they were always spilling coffee on them and then calling me to come fix them. So we wanted them all to learn how to do it themselves.
We're gonna give you that call for help in just a minute. First, I want to talk about our sponsor, PillPack. This is a better pharmacy. I love this idea. PillPack, the idea is they're an online pharmacy with a difference, okay? Of course, there's pharmacists. You can talk to them 24/7. You don't have to have any embarrassing conversations in the pharmacy. Say, well, exactly where do I put the ointment? But this is the thing that really makes them different, is the PillPack itself. You see this box? So when you sign up at PillPack, you transfer your prescriptions over. Of course, they'll mail you the ointments and the inhalers and the various supplies that you need that don't come in. But the medications themselves come in these great pill packs. And you'll see on the back of the box pictures of every medication, the prescription itself, the name of the medication, and the dosing directions, plus your name and date. And then when you look at the actual pill pack, it's the date, the time that you're supposed to take it, what's in there. Now, these are packed. Yeah, these are packed using image recognition, so they're very accurate. Pharmacist reviews each and every pack. And here's the other thing I like. It's very easy to open. And if you travel, just imagine you take the next few days, tear them right off, put it in your bag, and you're ready to go. Plus, there's never the question, did I take my meds this morning? Did I take my meds? Actually, when I get here, people always ask, Leo, did you take your meds this morning? So now I can just say, oh, yeah, my pill pack.
Yeah, you can lie. I
took them. Yeah, see, here's the empty pouch. Medication simplified, no, really is a better way. And if you've got elders in the family who often forget whether they've taken their medications, this is another. Just sign them up for pill pack. Go to pillpack.com/twit. It'll just take you a couple of minutes. And when you transfer your prescriptions to pill pack, we're going to get you a credit for $20 worth of vitamins and OTCs for just a way of saying thank you. That's pillpack, PILLPACK.com. /twit. PillPack.com/twit. A better pharmacy, a better way to do it. It's also very robust
in
case it falls on the floor.
Yes.
Those pill packs are fantastic. Are you are you ready for a call for help?
Let's do it.
Now this one I'm gonna let you pronounce. I know how to say Jeff, but where is he from?
Manitowoc. Did I do it right? Manitowoc or Manitowoc?
Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
Got a couple of Midwesterners here. They talk the talk.
Well, everybody assumes we all talk the same way.
Don't you?
And that we all know how to pronounce each other's tones, but we don't always.
Michigan's near Wisconsin, right?
Yes,
they're
it's
nearby.
Very near, but okay, we are not the same state.
Hey,
all
Jeff.
All Midwesterners are not the same.
Jeff, you must have little kids in the house, I'm guessing from your question.
All right, so I occasionally do some data entry when I'm working at home, and my wife's not around, and a lot of times I'll have my 2-year-old twin boys sitting with me.
Boy.
So I've got a dual monitor set up, so I'd like to be able to have my headset on and have some music going for myself, but then have some cartoons playing on the other monitor coming out through the speakers for them, just so that they can be occupied and, you know, I can be occupied. We're not worrying about trying to do two things at once.
Isn't this funny? This is the modern family, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Because you want to be able to do something and then have your kids listen to Pat and Jen do Minecraft walkthroughs.
Well, they're two. I don't think they're doing Minecraft quite yet.
But no, it's the Minecraft walkthroughs. That's the new cartoon.
Oh, I know.
It's Pat and Jen playing Minecraft.
I know.
You just watch them do it.
I know. So. Our 13-year-old doesn't watch TV.
No.
If he's ever on watching the TV, it's Minecraft videos, and he just puts them on and lets them run.
Yeah.
For hours.
That's her favorite cartoon is Pat and Jen.
Get ready,
Minecraft.
Jeff. That's in your future.
So while that's happening,
all right. I have the cheesy way, and you're going to have a real.
You
way.
Have the cheesy way.
Well,
or the way that
the
most
way,
people would do it. Right?
When Carson said that we have a question from Jeff, he wants to do this. I said I don't know what the answer is. I don't. Can you? And Carson said yes. I do this all the time with my kids. So here's what Carson does. Okay, you turn this. You turn on you open the mixer, right?
Yeah.
In Windows. You're in Windows.
Yes.
Okay. You open the mixer. You know, you double-click the little speaker icon in the bottom there. And you actually best to right-click it and get the advanced mixer, okay?
Okay.
And you're going to set the audio to come out in the headphones first, all right? And then you turn on your music. Okay, now at this point, everything's normal. Music's playing through headphones. Nothing else is going on. Now, go back to the mixer. Switch to speakers. You have to start with headphones, by the way. I don't know why.
Yeah, it has to go in that
It's
sequence.
Voodoo. Then you go... I swear to God, Carson wrote this. And then... You switch to speakers, and then you start the cartoon. It's probably YouTube, right, or something like that, or Netflix.
Yeah, either YouTube or Netflix. Yeah.
I don't know if this work with Netflix. He doesn't know. He goes
I
don't know.
Anyway, ostensibly,
supposedly this works. Yes. Okay, then you start the cartoon. Now, most of the time, the music somehow, I don't know how, will go back to the headphones. The music will
keep playing. Yeah.
The TV and the cartoon will play through the speakers.
So you're relying on unreliability there, is what you're
basically
doing.
Basically, it sounds like it's taking advantage of a bug, to be honest.
It's not a bug. It's a feature.
Yeah. Well, Kate has a better way.
I do. Or you could take 2 seconds and go to chevolume.com and just download that app.
There's an app?
There is an app for that. There's a program that'll do that, and it will allow you, take a look at that. It's so easy. It's ridiculous.
Oh, this is hysterical.
You can assign an application for each audio output.
They name it Che because it liberates your audio?
It is a revolutionary.
Revolution.
Yes. So, yes.
Yeah.
You have to put a beret on your speakers. But
grow a goatee.
So there it is. And it will do that. And it gives you the full mixer so that you can play with that. And you can even set it up to do little things. For instance, if Pat and Jen get to be too much for you, you can mute them instantly. If you can't take it anymore, you can kind of take over the whole.
Well, that's
audio
also, you can threaten
boss.
The kids with that.
Yes, yeah. I'm going to mute.
You're going to be listening to Mussorgsky in a
that's
minute
right.
if you don't shape up.
Yep. Although, no, we shouldn't use Mussorgsky as a punishment.
No, let's use something
it's
good.
It's a gift.
Yeah.
Classical music.
Sibelius. That'll teach him. So.
No, more like.
Bruckner, maybe a little Bruckner.
John Cage. You're going to have to do 4
Cage.
Minutes and 15 seconds. Do you know what that is? 4 minutes and 15 seconds? It's
silence.
4 minutes and 10 seconds. Yeah, it's silence. It's not.
Yeah,
it's
but it's
the
exactly.
Sound, it's the sound. That was fun of the concert hall.
You
I broke
knocked
your
my
computer.
R2-D2 off.
I'm
my
sorry, I killed R2-D2.
Oh.
But it's the sound of the concert hall. It's everybody coughing and rattling pages and all of
for
that.
For 4 minutes and 10 seconds, exactly.
Yes. So I added 5 seconds because it seemed like it should be a little longer. Just make it that much better.
If you think that's bad, you wouldn't want to hear his 3 hours and 25 minutes. That is way, way. Anyway.
So Che Volume.
Che Volume.
Yes.
Windows app will let you route the music and the audio as you please, even have multiple channels. And if you're on a Mac, Audio Hijack Pro does something very similar. So there are ways to just kind of better control your audio as you're
all right,
as
so
you're
you can listen
through.
To music with what? Inappropriate lyrics while your kid watches Monster High, and you just fine.
I used to have a pillow that says there's a special place in heaven for the parents of twin boys. You earn that special place in heaven. What are the twin 2-year-olds like to watch?
Oh, they watch just about anything. Lately, it's been a lot of the Animaniacs that have added on.
We love those. Yeah.
We do a lot of Disney stuff, so.
That's nice. It's just bright. For them, it's just bright colors at this point.
Yeah.
It's good. Were you a Teletubby fan? I think you were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this was as a full-grown adult. So was Carson.
Hey,
we used to watch the Teletubbies after work because it was stressful.
Hey, Jeff, thank you so much. We appreciate your call.
Thank you, guys. Congratulations on the 1 year.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a great year and many more, we hope. I would be thrilled if we can get 18 years out of this thing.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. Do you know how old I will be in 18 years? You don't even want to think about it. There they are. La, la.
Oh, yay. Yeah, I used to play that with Abby.
I remember. That's like, right. That's
now
right.
An adult.
That's right. That's yeah. right. Hey, coming up next week, Jason Howell will be here. He has finally, he's been working on this for like a, since before we began the show, his MAME cabinet, his kind of arcade gaming machine. He'll join us. He'll also be here to answer your questions about Android, host of All About Android in our Tech News Today show. Here's how you can get your question on the air next week.
Need tech help? The new screensavers are here with answers. Email your tech questions to newscreensavers@twit.tv.
In a little bit, I just want to warn you, get ready, Kate.
Okay.
A blast from the past.
Yay.
Coming, a couple of
treats.
Treats.
It's so fun, up. Anniversary show. Lots of treats.
Lots of treats. And also, we're going to talk to the survivors so far of America's Greatest Makers, a couple of great maker teams in a little bit. I want to remind you, our show today brought to you by Wealthfront. Everybody's got to be saving for college. College, Jeff. It's coming sooner than you think. You got to be saving maybe the house payment or retirement for me. Now, it's nice. The sooner you start, the more you'll have if you invest it properly. Now, here's the problem. If you invest it, you put it in a savings account, it's actually going to go backwards. The interest rates in savings accounts aren't quite negative, but they might as well be. All right, you say, no, I'm gonna invest in the stock market. That's where the money is. Well, all right, you going to manage that? That's what I thought. I read all the books, put all the money in all the right places, and then forgot about it for 15 years. That was kind of a mistake. The other option, of course, to hire somebody to do it. But you got to ask yourself, if this person is so good, what's he working for? You know? Why is he telling me what to invest in, right? But not to mention the fact that they get you every which way. Investment advisors charge you between 1% and 3% of what you have under management every single year, plus hidden fees and transaction charges. Pretty soon, you're whittled away to nothing. This is what you got to do. Let a computer do it. This is a program, and programs are cheap. 0.25% a year, practically nothing. And it's based on Nobel Prize-winning economics, on academic research, the best investment practices. Those books you saw, that's not just academic. Those are the advisors. Burton Malkiel's on the advisory board. And Charles D. Ellis, these are the guys who wrote the books on investing. They put all their smarts into this software. And unlike you or a professional advisor, the software monitors your portfolio and makes changes all the time, minute to minute. That's why it can do things like tax loss harvesting to increase your return and reduce your tax bill. Now, I don't want you to do this without reading up. So here's what you do. Go to wealthfront.com/NSS. We are, after all, talking about your nest egg. They have a couple of freebies you can take advantage of right now. You can, by the way, put your existing portfolio in, and they'll tell you about fees you might be paying you didn't know about. They'll tell you how, you know, risky what you're doing, how well diversified what you're doing is. You'll get a grade, a report card on your existing portfolio. That's great. You can also get, after you answer a couple of questions, and I mean just a couple about your risk tolerance and your time frame, they'll give you their portfolio. You can compare them. You can even use it for yourself and invest if you want to. That's all completely free. If after reading it up and studying about it and you get it, you want to start, you can start with as little as $500. But I think this is nice. They're going to give you your first $15,000 of investments fee-free forever. So you'll pay nothing, not 0.25%, but nothing. Wealthfront.com/NSS. We've heard from so many of our Twit viewers who are using Wealthfront, are very happy with it. I want you to take a look and try it today. Wealthfront.com/NSS. Kate, we're going to walk over here.
All right, let's do
this
it.
This is something, did we ever walk in the screensavers? There was
not
nowhere
very
to
far
go.
From like one, we'd walk over to the TV to do fresh gear.
It was like 2 feet away.
Or we'd walk to the stairs.
Well, we got a big set. Come on, let's.
All right, let's go.
We got a long walk. We're gonna
let's do it.
Oh,
whoa,
I'm exhausted.
Okay.
We're going all the way over here to the other side of the studio.
Wow.
This is maybe a little too big. What do you think?
Yeah. No, yeah. It has to be big enough to fit all of our intellects.
Now,
that's what I would say.
If you saw Survivor, you know Mark Burnett. He's a great reality show creator, very famous. His latest is America's Greatest Makers. It's Tuesdays at 9:30, 8:30 Central on TBS. 24 teams started. They're trying to win a grand prize of $1 million. And joining us right now, one of the teams, we're going to have two teams here today, both of whom have made it to the
almost the finals. It's
to the finals.
Yeah.
The finals is five teams squaring off against each other with one winner for $1 million.
Wow. So we have 40% of the total survivors on the show
Doing the intellect, right? Studio's got to be bigger. He's doing quick math.
John Schaefer is here. He's the CEO of ASEA, along with his wife, Alita Schaefer, who is also with ASEA. Mm-hmm. You guys have 2-year-old and a 1-year-old at home. So say hi, wave. Hi. Mommy and daddy are here on TV right now. And so you, how did you get involved with this, first of all?
We met in the gym 13 years ago. And we've been working on different ways to track our fitness. And
so you've been fitness fanatics for years.
To some extent. I think it was interesting. On the show, I kind of make a quip at myself in terms of, like, I make a joke, I've got a dad bod. Like, we've always
That's the new thing,
that's the new thing, apparently. Yeah, it's going to go out of fashion.
I've been working on that really hard.
But I think the thing is we've always been in, out, kind of struggling with it. And when you're looking at a lot of the fitness devices now, one of the big things that they're not really doing for a lot of people is really helping you with the full range of fitness, right? You got a lot of step trackers, which is gets people motivated, gets them off the couch. But then it just stops being helpful after.
I know. If I go to spin or if I go to lift weights, it doesn't monitor anything. It just you say, I'm doing a weightlift workout. Right. And they go, okay, fine, have fun. Right. Good luck.
And so and it can take a lot of like 70 taps just to get one thing to start.
Exactly.
So that's frustrating. This? So at ASEA, we have made the Delta Glove. And the Delta Glove is a weightlifting glove, but it's smart. So it can track what exercise you're doing, how many sets and reps you've completed, and even what weight you've lifted.
And that's the big thing. I think if we want to focus on one piece, is the fact that we've worked in with some really smart materials into the palm of the glove.
It can tell how heavy you
We'll show you.
So we'll give you a
little... So now for when you're doing it, you're not obviously connected to anything.
No. So right now what we've got is our prototype. So these are definitely not on the market yet.
Okay.
So this right here is kind of the looks like, give you an idea of what it's going to look
that's
like.
That's the final
in the
version.
Final form. Okay. The current version that we've got is still relatively small compared. This is kind of the progression. We started with this nice little...
That
baseball
looks like a Raspberry
glove.
Pi almost.
We threw a little Arduino on
Arduino,
there.
Arduino, okay.
It's streaming numbers on the screen. We moved all the way to this giant kind of Iron Man monstrosity on our arms.
But all of these were made in our living room.
Yeah.
So
that
we really,
so cool.
Like, we had our day jobs. We'd come home, play with the kids, put the kids to bed, and then this is what we'd do from like 9 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Some
this
people,
was like our passion project.
You know,
project.
Watch The Good Wife. Some people play Monopoly. You were designing.
Some people nerd out, you know.
This is
Now, what is ASEA? Where does that come from?
Analyze Strength, Exercise, and Health.
Oh, I like
so
it.
So it's an acronym if you look at the name of it.
Oh, it sounds pretty and actually means something.
Yeah, and so we actually, I mean, the bigger focus is just on ASEA now that we've kind of had the acronym, but like, I think it's just, you know, it's short, easy, people can remember it, and it is nothing really at this point. A few people's names here and there, but for the most part, no one's ever heard of it. So it's ours to play with a little bit.
So show us how ASEA works.
Sure.
The Delta Glove.
So what we've got is, as you can see kind of on the screen here, we're kind of taking a new approach to what it's going to look like, a really simple kind of there we go. So this is the kind of functional screen we're looking at here. We've been kind of tearing it apart a little bit.
So you'd have this on your phone or your tablet while you're working out.
So you can look at it when you're working out, or you can just work out,
and
it will track
it
and see what you're doing and look at it later. So we have the pounds that are lifted. So right now it's blank, but it just recognized 5 pounds. Look at that. Wow.
That's very
pounds.
Amazing.
Okay. Sets. So sets are this inner circle, and reps. So it counts as reps. There's
how
a little
can
bit
it know
of a
how heavy that is?
In terms of the data that we're running our current algorithms also, they were all captured using this glove just on me. So we're on a pretty limited data set.
That's the other thing is we have to make this work for everybody.
And so that's where we're going to be doing.
There you go, 20 pounds.
And so
that's
we're going to be doing a round of fundraising to be able to get this into people's hands so they can actually, you know, works.
Do you want to crowdsource it? Would that be the goal?
So
after we have more...
We want to make sure that we're not going to kind of betray the trust of our early customers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so a lot of people jumped on the crowdfunding bandwagon, which is great.
But you're not close enough to really justify the money people would give you.
Yeah. I understand. And we don't want to piss them off. We like you guys. We want you to buy it.
I like that.
We want to respect you.
No, too many people do that. I think
they
that's great.
They
when we have our bill of materials ready for the manufacturer, we'll have a Kickstarter campaign or Indiegogo we'll have a campaign where we know we're going to get the product when we promise.
Well, and right now, of course, you've already won $100,000 in America's Greatest Makers, and you're on your way perhaps to $1 million. So that would help a lot.
That would.
Well, as I mentioned before, we both like had our day jobs. Well, winning the $100,000, Jonathan has quit his day job, and so he's working on this full time. So we're making leaps and bounds now, which is fantastic.
It's been really cool. And the show itself. I think the really cool thing about the show, and you'll get to meet one of the other contestants in just a moment, is the collaborative nature of the show.
Yes.
It really is. I know a lot of people, you know, talk about the maker community and stuff like that, but there were contestants on the show who were in each other's hotel rooms at night using each other's equipment to fix their stuff.
That's neat. It's not cutthroat.
It wasn't.
In the finalists, like with the five finalist teams, people were printing things for each other.
Neat.
Like it was very much a collaborative process, which is the maker movement.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. So. Yeah. Helped us get where it's at.
No one gets voted off this island. Awesome. All right, that's Team Asaya, and that keep watching for the Delta Glove. You finished the show, so they know who won.
They do.
We're not going to say anything.
No, we won't ask, and we won't. Yes.
They've signed papers and all sorts of stuff. But
we want to keep our kids.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be really a shame if you had to lose that. So thank you, John and Alita Schaefer of Asaya.
Absolutely.
Now we're going to go over...
So
and meet Team Grosh.
Team Grosh.
Hello.
This is Ethan Schwer. Welcome.
Hi, Ethan.
Big fan.
Thank you. Nice to have you.
So, Ethan, tell us about this, because your whole thing is about a toothbrush.
Grosh is short for the gaming toothbrush. If you have kids, maybe you were a kid once, kids don't like to brush their teeth. And so we created Grosh. Now, Grosh is a connected toothbrush. Grosh has motion sensors, so it can detect any movement during brushing. I'm going to show you.
This is cute. It looks like a game, too.
I'm going to brush little Leo here.
Uh-oh, little Leo needs it. Oh, man.
So you see here, when I go left, brush goes left. Right?
Wow.
Back teeth? We have a very accurate algorithm, so the brush knows exactly where it is in the mouth. When the kids are done brushing perfectly, it uploads to the cloud so the parents can check and they can see exactly how well they brush and reward the kids for proper brushing.
Boy, that would be the best and worst thing that ever happened to my 9-year-old. Wow.
Oh, that is amazing.
Thank you.
Do you think your 9-year-old would do that? Would it be a motivator, you think?
I think she might. Yeah. I think she might, because it's like it's a chore for so many kids. You know, adults, we say, I can't wait to brush my teeth.
I know, yeah.
And for kids, it just feels like
work.
So you have more than one game, too. You have different kinds of
games. Yeah, we have several games. So that was Toothy Castles, and you battle your way through a different castle every week, and you gain rewards. We have Toothy Orchestra, and, you know, we're thinking about doing an MMO, multiplayer.
Okay. This seems pretty far along. This is more than just a prototype.
Yeah. Like. So we've made a lot of progress during the show, I think, with Intel. And the great thing about the Intel Curie module, not only do they have the pattern matching, which helps us to really locate where the brush is in the mouth, but during the show, they provided us with mentors, industrial design mentors, and also development mentors to really, you know, rapidly develop the product.
So you have to calibrate this thing somehow, right? How does that work? Does any kid just...
It's simple. There's a starting position.
Okay.
So you see here, when I press the button, it doesn't start. It knows when it's in the starting position. Now it's vibrating, you see?
Oh, so it won't even do anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's relative to the starting position.
Wow. This is virtual reality backwards, sort
right.
of. Right? This is real reality.
It is.
I don't know if I can handle that.
I don't know. I'm a little...
Scary.
Yeah.
So, how much will the Grosh sell for?
The Grosh now for kids is $59.
Okay.
And, you know, I think in the future, our vision is a sort of smart bathroom. If you imagine you're standing on a smart scale, you have biomedical sensors, you have a smart mirror, and so it's giving you a lot of information about your general health.
Ethan Schwer is the chief futurologist with Team Grosh. And as with our previous guests, you've already made it to the final round,
$100,000.
What is next in the show? Do you guys have to battle it out in a pit?
Yes.
Or what is...
So what happens...
Standing on one foot without eating?
Right.
As they select the top five from... It's called the make or break round. There's 15 teams.
Yeah.
Three teams go in. Only one team is staying.
Yikes.
And the rest are going out. They've already selected three out of the top five. They're going to select the next two. And then we'll have the hour-long finale for $1 million.
Wow. This is exciting.
Is that just so nerve-wracking, though, to stand on that floor where it's lighting up? Because they mess with you. They send the reds up before you get green.
They mess with you, and the thing is that it glows. There's a little Curie module that glows, and if you stare at it, it can kind of hypnotize you a little bit.
Oh, no.
So you'll see a lot of times when we pass,
well,
I don't even know
excuse,
it. I have some kind of... It's like when you watch Pokemon, you get a seizure.
It's just red-green, red-green.
Exactly.
Have fun. Oh, I got to watch the finales. That's exciting. So again, that's America's Greatest Makers, Tuesdays, 9:30, 8:30 Central, TBS. And good luck to both of you guys.
Yes, good luck.
I want you both to win. I want you all to win. But you've already won $100,000,
yes.
So I guess that's pretty good. So congratulations to both of you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
With the Delta Glove and Grosh.
Grosh.
Grosh. All right. You ready to try some VR?
Oh, I'm so ready.
All right. We thought we had a long walk. We got an even longer walk. Go this way, and I'll
show you. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you guys. Thank you so much. All right. We go back to the... Yeah.
Yes. Now, this is fun.
Look at Kara's... Kara's got Pac-Man tights.
They are the best. That's the first thing I ever said to her was, hello, your leggings are amazing. So that's how we made friends.
She's also, by the way, like Ginger Rogers, doing everything we do backwards in heels.
And in heels. Yeah. She's amazed.
Yeah. So we're going to walk over. This was originally Alex Lindsay's Pixel Core Studios.
Okay.
And they left the building a couple of 3 months ago. So we've taken over... So we've taken over their green screen space. And we were trying to figure out, if we're going to demonstrate VR...
Okay.
It's hard to show on TV because you can't see what you're going to see.
Yeah, it's just somebody in a helmet going, whoa.
And it looks dorky.
Yeah,
right.
It does.
So what we've done is we figured, but the idea is we're going to use the green screen to show what you're going to see. Here's the ultimate VR gaming machine. Spent a lot of money making this thing just so you could cook something for us.
Wonderful.
Okay, so you're going to be entering a game called Job Simulator.
Okay.
Now, I pre-picked a gourmet chef job. There are other jobs. You could have an office job and stuff, but I think you're going to enjoy this, okay? So we're going to put you in the kitchen.
Okay. All right.
Now, I'm going to put this on your head.
Okay.
All right.
Do it.
Popeye. Okay.
No.
Is that comfy? Okay, you're
that
in there now.
That is so weird.
Now, I have to put this in your ear because you got to hear the disco that I put on there. All right. Okay. Can you hear? All
not
right.
Not yet. I'm not hearing any disco.
Well,
yet.
When you press play. Now, you see your hands, right?
Oh, my stars. Okay.
Is it in focus? Because there's a little knob here we can turn if you...
No, yeah, it's in focus.
Okay.
It's just weird.
Now, Kate is in the kitchen.
I'm not feeling anything, but I feel like I should be.
Oh, I should show you how to use this.
Well, I'm guessing this makes it grab.
Yeah, yeah, and then there's other buttons, but see what happens.
All right, let's see what...
Your hands.
What's this button do? Those are famous
put
last
your hand,
words.
Okay, there you go.
All right,
yeah,
let's see.
And there's switches. Yeah, there's the Shuffle-O-Matic. Look at that.
Okay.
What's inside there?
I don't know.
Let's see. Pull on it.
Uh-huh.
You got to grab it and pull
grab
on
it.
It's
blue.
Grab it.
Pull, push. Let me try my
other
hand. Okay,
grab it. You're a righty. There you go.
There we go.
Okay, grape juice in there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right,
you could throw that bottle. Go ahead,
juice.
Just take it and throw it. See what happens.
Oh, that's fun, right? I can be completely destructive without actually hurting anything.
That's what's beautiful about
this. That's another thing I think my kid
Okay,
would
close
love.
That. Okay, so let's do that. You know, I think you have to close it. Because I think I left it open.
Okay.
Yeah. Just close it and play.
Right,
now, see if the disco...
It's spinning, but...
Do you hear anything?
No, alas.
All right. Well, eventually, I think you'll have
Do you have to, like, hold it down?
No.
No. So,
shouldn't
I don't know.
Have to.
I didn't, Ken. It's going. Okay.
Wash your hands.
Oh, I know. What am I thinking?
You got to wash. You can't...
I'm so unsanitary.
You can't cook until you...
There we go. All right.
You don't look at all dorky doing that.
Of course I don't. I look really cool, man. I have to use soap and then properly go on the tops between the fingers.
Okay. Look down a little bit. Look down a little bit. All there right. you go. Now we can see your hands. See?
Oh, you can't. Oh, because I see.
Yeah.
Look,
we
I'm
see...
just automatically washing my hands without looking.
No, you got to
like
look.
Like you do.
There's a little soap there on the left. If you
there
look
is.
At the.
I have
yeah,
a little...
squirt the. Yeah, there you go. There, that's a good thing.
Okay.
Okay,
there
now
we go.
You know you sing happy birthday while you wash
oh, that's
your
right.
hands.
Happy birthday to you.
Okay, that's enough. You're clean
okay.
enough.
Happy birthday.
There's no bacteria in space. It's okay.
Fair enough. Now, of course, my oven is on fire.
It
because
is?
I turned it on and there are clouds of, do you see? Clouds of steam.
Oh, my gosh. What's going
coming
on?
Coming off. So if I were to touch it, maybe my, look at that. Look. My hand. Ouch. It's on fire.
So this game I thought was kind of dorky, but you know what? It's fun because you could do stuff you would never do in real life. And it's very cartoony. Oh, there. Now you've turned it into.
Oh, there's my cooking pot.
A cooking pot.
Okay, so I can like go get a.
Get some eggs or whatever.
Something.
There's some stuff in the fridge, too. What is that?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Put that in the pot.
Oh, this is... I see. Okay.
It's actually...
This is pretty cool.
Yeah, isn't
and
it?
And it feels almost like it's got...
You feel like you're in there?
A little bit of resistance, like it might if I were... Come on.
I feel like that's just
psychology.
Although
I almost got brained
oh, now
by
it's
the refrigerator.
Now it's a refrigerator. Okay, let's see what's in there.
Come on. Okay, let's try this other hand.
The one thing that makes the vibe a little different is you're actually in a space, and you want to have a big space to use it. The rift you can't move around. It really is, you're pretty much...
Sorry. I cannot open the refrigerator. And, of course, you know what I want to do? There we go. Is take off the paddle and reach in and pull it out, which would do me no good at all.
No, it is, though. It fools you.
Put it in the pot. Tomato.
She's actually cooking something. I just
That's
threw
right.
the tomato.
And oh, here's your dairy that you missed for your latte
oh,
today.
Oh, yeah, so yeah. Can you put some little... of that in there? Oh.
Oh, look, look, look.
Oh, there's look. A lot. Look, look, look. You're making,
we're making
strawberry.
Cream of mushroom and tomato soup.
Yum.
It's really going to be delicious. Yum. Maybe we should grate some carrots in there for a little sweetness or just kind of toss this thing. Oh, I missed. Wait, stop. Come back. Oh, and it rolled off the counter. My apologies to whoever has to clean that up.
Now, so, do you feel queasy at all? I mean, do you feel normal?
I'm getting used to it. It is weird. But I do feel like there should be resistance in things. Like they are reacting more or less in a pretty...
Well, you know, if you start with the Rift where you don't have any hands at all, this really is kind of amazing because now you have...
Bacon.
Now you can move around, which you don't do with the Oculus Rift. You have hands, which you don't yet.
Oh, look!
Did you
see that?
Did it fall off? You ate it?
I ate it.
Well,
that was awesome. Wait,
was it tasty?
It was delicious.
They haven't yet figured...
Virtually.
Oh,
here's some raw bacon. Nom, nom, nom. Look at that.
Don't eat raw bacon.
Can you put the flour pot? No, alas. Yes, I can put flowers in it.
Anything you want.
They're edible
flowers. Now turn the stove up all the way.
All right, it's up, I think, as far... Oh, wait, here we go.
It's good you have a fire extinguisher. Oh, oh, look at that burner. Look at that burner. It's going hot.
Wow. That is really cool, and thank goodness, yes, in case you are a terrible cook. Okay, well, I can't quite get this to do more than... Ah, forget
throw it.
It.
That's it. There you, now you're getting the
I'm
idea.
I'm just going around chucking fire extinguishers because I'm just that awesome.
So you do want a space that's fairly big. They say the minimum space is something like 6 feet by 6 feet, but you see we've got a lot of space. And what will happen if your space is too small is you get a blue grid showing you where there's physical obstacles. And it ends up being you want as big a space as you can. So that you haven't seen any of those blue grids because you really can pretty much move around. Now, it is...
Wow! Too much. I love it. Nom, 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 nom.
It's a little...
I don't need any more eating.
Risky to do this somewhere where there's furniture, so this is why. There's your order. I don't know.
Well...
You're the worst chef
I am.
Ever.
Well, we'll just cook that then.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah.
Order up. That's why you got a B on the health certificate.
Exactly. You know what's really strange is that your voice is right there, so I keep expecting...
Me to be here.
You to be there.
I'll go over
here.
Like
I could go crashing into you, but it would be the wall of the kitchen. This is
now
really...
I'm over here.
Oh, good. Order up. I can hear you there, but I can't see you. So.
I'm on the other side of the pot.
That is nuts.
Isn't
here,
that hysterical? Oh, whoa. Hey.
So,
careful.
Wow. Okay.
Some salt and pepper. Cook it in the kitchen with Kate. Remember, we wanted to make this a cooking show.
Exactly. And lo, here we are. Catch. So, wow, if only I could clean my kitchen by just chucking things over there.
Should we try tilt brush? You want to do the... Okay. So, now, first of all, take this off for a moment.
Okay.
It's going to be a little disorienting.
Okay. Oh, hi.
I know. It's weird, isn't it? You're in the real world all of a sudden.
Wow.
It's very disorienting when you go from the virtual world to the real world. I thought it would be the other way around. It would be more disorienting going to the virtual world. Actually, that seems pretty natural, doesn't it?
It doesn't.
Okay, we're gonna. I think you're gonna like this. This is another program. This is called Tilt Brush, and this is unique. The Oculus doesn't have anything like this. This is a painting program.
Ooh.
And some of our staff has spent a lot of time in here playing with Tilt Brush. So the paddles let you.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you have different brushes.
I'll see you guys later. I'll just
this
be here
is
all
more,
night.
I think this is very interesting. This is more engaging in a way. Yeah. Let me get out of her
way.
I don't want to get hurt.
Yeah, I was see the arms. I don't know where
you are. I'll stay out of your way. Don't worry. I'll stay out of your
way. I'll try to just go by sound and not.
So this is from Google.
What's that?
Whoa, I don't know.
Oh, that must be the palette. Aha. Really?
Whoa, you're painting with fire now.
Stop. Don't stop. That's really cool. Well, look at that.
So I think this is interesting. You've never used anything like this before. And
never.
You've taken to it quite... I mean, it feels comfortable, right?
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very natural. I mean, it was weird at first trying to just figure out...
How to touch stuff and
hold
stuff.
Yeah, how to touch stuff and how to get it to actually...
Well, you
do
didn't
it.
Have the benefit of the tutorial either, which is interesting. I mean, I've gone through the whole tutorial.
Oh, well, I am a screensaver, you know. So hopefully I can... handle some technology when it comes my way occasionally. Wow, this is really cool. Okay, if I go this way and step away from my picture. Oh, I'm in a glass box that doesn't exist.
That's because you're coming to the edge of the territory.
So I got to stay
inside. So if you see
inside.
Lines, you want to stay inside those lines.
Okay.
There. That's just for your own safety so you won't
so
walk
messy
into
right
walls
now.
Or furniture. Now, tilt, I think, what are you saying? Tilt the... if you tilt your hands, then palettes come up, right? Is that right?
Yeah, here's the palette.
Yeah. So you point out with
there.
The other
so
one.
So there's my color. I can go blue.
Yeah.
And now it's blue.
So who blue, was it? Was blue. It Brian Burnett was, or Greg was spending a lot of time in here playing with it? Greg was, yeah.
Okay.
He created all sorts of, he was smiling like crazy. I mean, he's a graphic artist, a designer, and
wow.
It's pretty neat. Do you feel like you're in that world or?
Absolutely. Yes.
So you're drawing in kind of a 3D space that's around you.
Yeah, and I'm a little dizzy now doing that because I feel like, oh, I'm standing in the middle of my art, I'm going to hit something, but I'm not.
Right. And I think that's one of the things, the office simulator and real world things are a little bit less disconcerting. Then stuff, wow, you're actually writing something now. Hi, Ray. Oh, this is so cool. Do you like it?
I love it. Yep.
All right.
Wow, thanks for letting me play with this thing.
Yeah.
This is neat.
So the HTC Vive is $800. You get the paddles, the headset. You do, just like the Oculus Rift, need to have a fairly capable computer. You should look at the minimum specs before you buy it because most computers will not be powerful enough to run this software. The software is Steam, and there's a VR section in Steam. In fact, if you want to browse, even without the Vive, if you want to browse the available apps, you can do that on the Steam
platform. It's Mother's Day. This is much more.
Are you writing something for your mom?
Hi, Mom.
Is Mom watching?
Yes, all the moms and the grandma.
Hi, Grandma. Hi, Mom.
Moms and Grandma. Hello.
Look at that. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, this is really neat.
Do you ever want to stop?
No, and I can see why you were like, no, you can't have it.
I know. I didn't want you to play with it.
Wow.
It's mine, damn it.
Well, neat.
All right, that's the HTC Vive. We'll continue to talk about both the Vive and the Oculus. I have, in my opinion, they're both good, and they're just for different things.
Mm-hmm.
The addition of the panels makes a big difference, but those will be available for the Oculus. You know, there's a dark horse candidate here, which is the Sony PlayStation VR, which is going to be out later this year.
You're
a lot of people have PS4s, and that'll be a little less expensive. You'll use the Move controllers for the PS4 as your paddles.
Okay.
But I have to say, if you can afford the little extra for the Vive, I think the potential for the Vive is great, not only because it's tied in with Steam, but these room sensors mean that you really can use the space in a unique way. There's one of the sensors. There's two like that. They see you. They see the headset. They see the paddle. And so they're orienting you in a larger 3D space. That's something the Rift does not do. And the Vive is quite impressive.
Wow.
I really, of the two, I would say, if you have, you obviously aren't going to buy both. And then if you can afford the Vive and you have the space, because remember, you need a fairly large space in your home. With no obstructions, no coffee tables, no furniture.
Wow.
So you can move around.
You could really use this for design.
Well, too. We've been trying
especially
to figure
like
out,
3D
actually,
design.
That's what our staff was saying is we would like to do a 3D open in this if we could just figure out how to export it out and use it. I think there is a way to do that.
Or if you were setting up a house, or if you're building a house and you're thinking, you know, I want this over here.
Right.
I'm going to take 10 steps or however many you can take within this.
Well, remember, Google did SketchUp on SketchUp, and I think that they're probably thinking along those lines because they do have 3D design programs.
Uh-oh.
All right, Kate, there
okay.
It is.
Clearing my sketch. Yes.
You enjoy it?
Thank you. That's awesome.
All
I loved
right.
it.
I will.
Okay, here we go. Back to Google. Sorry.
I will unvivify you.
I punched you. I didn't mean to.
That's all right.
Oh, and we're back. Hi.
It's
neat.
A little weird when you come out of that space.
Yeah, it is. It's strange.
You're suddenly in the real world.
Yeah, and the colors are all very different. But that
it's not
is
quite so.
Cool.
You know what? Reality isn't as much fun as virtual reality, is it?
Well, it's yes, of course it is. But it's very engrossing because really you feel like you're in a real room. You feel like you're going to bump into your sketches and all of that. So that's really
all right, let's
neat.
Take a walk. We're going to go back. Before, though, that we do that, Patrick Norton sent you a little message. Watch.
Leo, congratulations on the one-year anniversary of the new Screensavers. Oh, my goodness. My trusty camera operator, Seamus, is here. My sound person, Tristan, is right behind him. And we all want to wish you congratulations on your first year. I wish I was there to see you and Kate on a stage together again. Takes me back to my youth when I still had hair underneath his hat. Congratulations, man.
My turn.
Okay.
Really to be-
another visitor from far away. Kevin Rose, come on down.
Hello, hello.
From New York City. Now, you guys never worked together, did you?
No, I did not.
We passed in the night, basically.
obviously was a fan from watching the show prior to joining up, but yeah, we passed.
From the first host of the Screensavers to the last host of the Screensavers, right?
Kind of crazy.
Wow. Yeah, the cover in the whole waterfront.
Circle of life, man.
So you know what was amazing, Kevin? We were just talking about this. It was 18 years ago on May 11th, which is in a couple of days, 18 years ago that ZDTV started. So this is the 18th anniversary of the original Screensavers.
And you have not aged a day.
See, I was thinking the same thing about the lovely Kate.
How is that happening? What are you eating? Tell me.
No. Kevin, by the way, and I hope you're subscribing to his newsletter. We've mentioned this before. It's really good, but you talk a lot about you're not still doing the cold thing, are you?
Yeah, I'm still doing the cold. I just actually got done with a treatment today that was 4 minutes at about... Well, this was a cold shower, so it was about 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
Why would anyone do that? That's horrible.
Why? It's amazing. There's a guy by the name of Wim Hof that kind of got me started on it.
Right.
I did a 10-week course with him. And, you know, I just do it every other day or so. And it just boosts your mood, gives you more energy. It's there. Thank you for putting that up, guys. Appreciate that.
That's
You should move to Michigan if you're really into that. We've got the cold, all the cold you could ever possibly dream of in your life. We have
for those listening. That's awesome. That was a picture of Kevin and Toaster in the snow. Kevin's wearing briefs, and he is in the cryo tank.
Wow. Cryo was kind of crazy. Yeah, that was -200, and I believe. What was -141 Celsius, but I found out later that was actually, or Fahrenheit, but I found out later that was actually Celsius. So really cold stuff. You only stay in for 3 minutes in the cryo tank.
Yeah, and it's not, you're not in liquid, so you're in air, so it's not like instantly conducting to your skin.
What does it feel like?
The second you jump in, I mean, there's that shock and it kind of takes your breath away a little bit. But I would say within 30 seconds, you just adjust to it and then it's just, you know, it's cold. The first time I went in... I mean, the first time I went in, I was shivering afterwards.
Yeah.
But then after you do it two or three times, you just get adjusted to it. Your body gets adjusted, and then there's no shivering. And that's kind of when your body switches to this mode of kind of using it for fat loss as well.
Nice. Wow. So how's the newsletter doing?
It's doing really well. Yeah. So the journal launched here a couple months ago. It's been great. We've got a little over 50,000 members. I put it out once. Per month. So it's not one of those ones that just bombards your inbox with garbage. And I really spend a lot of time most weekends during the month kind of researching and finding just the best articles, best products, things like that to include.
And it's free.
100% free. I'm just having fun with it. Like, I miss the days of, you know, when I was at Dig, I was always finding really cool articles that I could kind of send out and dig up or submit to the site. And this was a way for me to kind of get back into that and also research stuff. You know, I miss doing the Screensavers. We had so much fun playing with products and things like that.
Right.
I like going out, buying stuff, you know, putting it through my own personal test and then either saying yes or no to something in the newsletter and kind of recommending the best stuff to the readers. So it's been fun.
The journal.email, right?
That's it. Yeah. They have these crazy .email domains now, so I snagged one of those.
Yeah. Great to see you, Kevin, and thank you for helping us welcome Kate back.
Nice to see you, Kevin.
Good to see you, Kate.
Yeah. Do you have any memories of her at all? Do you know who she is?
Well, I mean, we used to watch you guys on the show. I will say the one memory that I have is you guys would stand by these computers, and if you go back and you look at them now,
saying,
they're just massive. They're like these big, huge, ginormous beasts behind you.
And I have more power in my pocket than in the Ultimate.
Yeah.
Look at the size of that thing.
Oh.
Crazy. That's like a refrigerator, and then the monitor is a CRT. That was a $5,000 monitor. We had to give it back to Sony after the term because we couldn't afford it.
And it weighed like hundreds of pounds.
Oh, crazy.
It was crazy.
And then the hair, of course, never moved. Not an inch.
That is
a lacked on my head. Kevin Rhodes, great to see you. Give my love to Daria and Toaster.
Will do. Thank you.
Next time you're out here, come say hi.
Will do. Have a good one, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Kevin Rhodes.
Come visit me in Michigan if you want to get cold.
Continue our memories.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's the real cold. How cold does it get there?
Well, not this last winter was pretty easy, but the winter before it was like 15, 16 plus below on regular days.
One wonders why anyone would live there.
Well, because it's gorgeous.
In the summer?
It's gorgeous all the time. Oh. It's just a different flavor of gorgeous. And you get used to cold. I mean, there's a point in which you're like, okay.
Like Kevin.
Hats.
No big deal.
You just wear a hat.
Yeah,
you know,
just
go
get
outside.
A tank at 400 below. No big deal.
I mean, they do cancel school for cold days. There were days that it was too cold for children to safely stand outside and wait for the bus, and they had to cancel school.
Okay, so that's why you moved there.
Yeah, and this is also why you don't, like, if you're planting your garden, you don't plant until Memorial Day.
Wow.
Because it can still freeze all the way up to the end of
May. Well, we got to get you back home before Memorial Day. I bet you have a nice garden. I don't know, but I think you do.
We have a pretty good garden.
Let's answer some email from our fans.
Yay, mail.
Oh. We never had anything like this, did we?
No, it's
they would just give us some papers.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's elegant.
The mailbag.
It's an elegant solution.
When in Kate's day, we were sitting on those wooden stairs that went up and then around and then nowhere in the back of the set, and the whole idea was we had to fill time to get it to an hour, or sometimes we had no time at all. All right, but we would answer mail, and we have them. It seems like I've gotten taller since we saw it before, and I don't know why. There's tinfoil Barbie.
Oh no, here. No, not tinfoil Barbie.
Who's that? Do you know that?
This is Tilda.
Oh my gosh.
This is Tilda that Karsten made for me. these many years ago. This is my Tilda Barbie. Now I will tell you, this spike of hair lasted for the whole 18 years and only broke off about a month ago. Of course, just in time to bring it
you
here.
You brought
and show
this
it
here?
To you. I did, because Karsten made it for me when I had to say goodbye to the girl and pass her over to the incredible and wonderful Laura LeBlue. But yes, it was so much fun to be Tilda, and this was our...
Tilda, we should explain, was a 3D-generated character.
Yes.
And Dash was her partner.
Yep.
And there's
Tilda with her hair, and there's the suit. See, he did this suit. And now, I'll tell you, here's a little behind the scenes, okay?
It looks like Dash has the same hair as
Tilda.
Well,
no, he has different hair, and I argued for Tilda to have Dash's hair.
Oh.
So these little spiky things I thought were really cute. But go, Dash, look at that bouffant. Let me tell you how cute Tilda looked in that bouffant. She looked adorable. So there she was. And we had wired gloves, and I puppeteered her face and did her voice.
You would use the glove to do the lips, right?
Yeah, so you had to do... You did that with Dev Noll.
No. So
you didn't?
No. So this is the difference is I was this character before she was
on
MSNBC on the site, right? And we had a Silicon Graphic Onyx. And by the way, Karsten was my puppeteer and Christina, right?
Christine Moss.
Same people who worked with you.
Yep.
But the way they did it in the early generation was they would listen to the sound and they would lip sync automatically to the sound.
Oh.
And then I also had, just like you did, you were wearing a suit, right?
No, we had an actor in a suit. So we had Pat Flick in a suit.
You just did the voice and Pat
and
Flick
the face.
Did the body.
I did the face, so I had to puppeteer while I talked. And then we had a partner, usually again Pat Flick, who would then do. So I'd go, oh my goodness, honey. And he would...
And
he would do all my little...
Oh, see, okay, so this was...
Yeah.
So I was in the suit, and the lip sync, which was terrible, would come from whatever I was saying.
Okay.
And then Karsten and Christine would do things like spin my hair and raise my eyebrows. So that's what their job was.
Okay.
So you're the second generation.
Yeah, they had to calibrate our computers, which
was
insane.
Well, we had to do a lot of that, too.
Key it in, change the body shape, make sure the Tilda's feet weren't... tilting in some bizarre way so she didn't look like she was really standing
That's
up.
All the same.
Yeah.
But I remember you had to go to a class and learn how to do the lips.
Yeah.
Because you and I think, can you still do it, do you think?
Yeah, I think I could still do it. If I don't think about it, I can still puppeteer the and then wah. So, but I can't think about it or it's not going to work. So that, and then she'd blink.
A very
over here.
Unusual and now useless skill.
Right, exactly. Boy, I worked so hard on learning
I
that
remember
too.
It took weeks.
So we'd talk and then puppeteer into this mic like this, and then sometimes you could turn on this joystick so that you could hit the joystick, and really only the incredibly, you know, the French puppeteer could do this. He was amazing. But, you know,
from
make her
protozoa.
Eyes look wherever she was going. But you had to know how to move the joystick while making the words at the same time.
Wow.
It was...
The funny thing is the body actor, Pat Flick, who did both you and Dash.
And Dash, yeah.
Was a guy, kind of a heavyset guy, frankly. He looked very chunky in that suit. And it was cute. He looked like Shamu, the killer whale, kind of. And but he was
He's brilliantly talented,
very physical. He was the Andy Serkis of his day.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he would bring the physicality of Tilda to life with the wrist and everything.
Yeah, the wrists and the little hip-to-hip thing.
And I would stand and watch him, and he was on a stage.
Yeah.
And I would just stand and watch him in awe of what he was able to do. And that was so different from when I had done it, where I was the physicality and kind of not so much in control of the mouth and the head.
Yeah.
You did it the other way around.
Yeah. And he could do, he'd make Tilda do the fresh gear dance that we did.
Yes.
Which was really funny.
What's that dance?
That was, but we had to do the little fresh gear and then we snapped. Yeah. So that that was our dance to make the fresh gear happen.
Here's the mailbag.
Oh, thank you.
There's only one message because we don't have to fill.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah. Go ahead. You start.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Are you related to the old tech TV program? Old. Can I have a moment? Okay. That created this. We are looking to license it for a National Geographic TV show on hacking. Let me know if you can help. Thanks, Laura.
Oh, wow. And this is what they were talking about? Oh, Kevin Mitnick.
Mitnick.
Yeah.
That's a blast from the past, too. And this is awesome. You opened his letter.
Well, he brought it with him. I didn't.
I know, but I think that's amazing.
So this was Kevin Mitnick, as you remember, went to jail for hacking, mm-hmm. which he freely admits to. He was a hacker and got caught. Got caught several times. Got caught when he was under 18 and let off and said, I'll never do it again. Then got caught again and went to jail. Lived on tuna fish because he didn't like the jail food. So he would just get cans of tuna fish. And when he got out, he had an order that would not allow him on a computer or on the internet for some time. We had him back the first time he got on the internet. And I think that was the court order saying, okay, you may now use a computer, Kevin Mitnick. you are permitted. And I don't know if you remember, Woz came by and mm-hmm. gave him a Mac laptop that he used for his... there's
Woz. What's up, Woz?
Because Woz was a big supporter, and there was a whole Free Kevin movement and stuff. And I don't, you know, it's kind of silly because Kevin admits to it. He did the crime, and he did the time. And now he, by the way, is a white hat hacker, is reformed, and is a great guy. And I really, really like him.
He's a security expert. I love him.
And a good friend of Woz who, aw.
Aw.
So that was a lot of fun. So we don't have the rights to that. These people wanted to use this. All of this is still owned by Comcast, the company that bought Tech TV, in the form of NBC Universal.
Okay.
So if you want the rights to any of those old shows, we have talked to them for years. We have begged with them. We have pleaded with them. We said, look, if you just let us into the vaults, because supposedly everything is still there on the original tapes and hard drives.
Really?
This stuff was recorded on that they saved it. I talked to a lawyer for G4 Tech TV. He said, oh, no, we got everything. But you need to get NBC Universal's permission. Wow. We begged them and pleaded with them. And it's just too low a priority for them. We said we would like to do a best of the screensavers where we'll show old shows and we'll update them and we'll share revenue with you. And just no, it's not enough revenue for NBC Universal if we think about it. So
to go digging it up.
Maybe they'll listen to National Geographic.
There you go. And yeah. Laura is making a documentary about hacking. So we're trying to see if we could get some
footage
for her.
That for her. Yeah. But we've tried before. We don't have any cloud at all with them. Well, I'll tell you off the air the rest of the story.
Okay. Laura. Good luck.
Don't want to poke the tiger or anything. Here's one from Steve P. Do you know if setting up the Raspberry Pi would require a PC or can it be done with a Chromebook? I love my Chromebook, as do I. I think a Chromebook is a great computer for most people.
Hmm.
But I've been frustrated in the past with software and hardware vendors not supporting the Chromebook. I'd love to buy and experiment with a Raspberry Pi, but I haven't pulled the trigger yet for fear I would not be able to get it set up without a PC. Good news. You don't need a PC. So the way the Raspberry Pi works, it is a computer. It's a full computer. You don't need a PC in any respect except to create the little micro SD boot disk. And that can be done... Well, first of all, if you go to Adafruit or a lot of places that sell Raspberry Pis, they'll sell you a pre-configured boot disk. They put something called Noobs, N-O-O-B-S, on it, new out-of-the-box software. And from then on, you don't need a computer in any respect. The thing is a computer. It's a standalone computer. So normally what you do if you had a computer is you download Noobs and you put it on this SD card. But as you can see, you can buy SD cards of a lot of different sizes. I'd suggest at least 8 gigabytes, maybe 16 or even 32, because, of course, that's the main storage for your Raspberry Pi, so the bigger it is, the better. But once you get that SD card, you just boot to that, and then at that point it says, all right, what would you like to install? Now, there's one other thing. You do need an internet connection. Now, since you have a Chromebook, I know you have that, but I bet you it's a Wi-Fi connection. The Raspberry Pi comes with Ethernet. The Raspberry Pi C, the newest version, comes with Ethernet and Wi-Fi. If you get an older Raspberry Pi, get a Wi-Fi card. Or be ready to connect it via Ethernet. Otherwise, it is the computer. And in fact, my recommendation, you might even consider this, if for parents with kids who are, you know, interested in Minecraft, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So your daughter is interested in Minecraft. You get her a Raspberry Pi. It comes with Minecraft. And it comes with Python programming for Minecraft. So she can. It's easy to get them interested because they go, oh, well, what do I do with this? Oh, well, would you like to build a rainbow made out of melon? And she can do it.
She would want to do that.
Yeah. And then pretty soon she learns how to build a house or teleport other people. She can run a Raspberry Pi Minecraft server. That's how I first started using it. And so there's a lot you can do. And this is I think it's a great way to get kids into technology, get them into programming, into a computer. It's $35. You need a keyboard and a mouse, but any old USB keyboard and mouse will work. And you would need a screen. It has an HDMI port, so any TV that has HDMI. So just an old TV lying around, keyboard and mouse, $35, everything you need, you're ready to go. And you don't need a PC, because it is a PC.
That's amazing. And isn't it's that big.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I have an extra one. Let me give it to you. You can take it home and play with it.
I still cannot get over our button size this and the pea-sized chip in the brain and our credit card size. Look at that uggum. Did you see that thing?
I know, and I'm thinking, I'd have to really think, but I would bet you that the $35 Raspberry Pi has more power than that Ultimate Gaming Machine.
It probably does.
First Ultimate Gaming Machine. I bet it is. I bet it's a gigahertz processor. It has more RAM. It has, I think you could get it with 1 or 2 gigs of RAM. What did ours have? 64 megs?
64 meg, because you'd never need any more. I thought that was like outrageous.
It supports HD monitors. I mean, yeah. I think that actually that Raspberry Pi is more powerful than the Ultimate. I think an Apple Watch is more powerful than the Ultimate Gaming Machine.
The first one, yeah, by all means.
So, Kate, you're going to go back. You're going to continue on with your radio career.
Yes.
Any Absolutely. Desire at all to go back and do more TV or anything like that?
I am so happy where I am right now. I mean, I'm surrounded by forest, water, and art all the time. You can't go wrong with that.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Well, give my love to Ray.
Of course.
Next time you got to bring him out. I'd love to see him again. And I'm glad you're both doing so well. And I really thank you for 18 years of friendship.
Can you believe it?
18 years ago.
I can't believe it. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. And Mazel Tov. I love that you brought the screensavers back. That's so
cool. It's fun to see
that. I love that you did it.
The old gear and the same crappy green and all of that. What color green is that?
Acid green.
Acid green. I think you're exactly right.
Poison green. That's another good term for that green. But it's
been
good.
A very special 50-second episode of the News Screensavers. Thanks for being here, Kate. Thanks to you. Thanks to everybody for joining us. We'll see you next week with Jason Howell, our guest host on the News Screensavers. Bye-bye, everyone.
So fun. Thank you.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute. We missed one thing. We can't end the show without a dance.
Sure.
And then,
And then?
We'd end the show.
There you have it. Kate and Leo. Because all tech shows should end with a party dance. You know? They should.